Choices of his fate set themselves out upon a plate for him to choose. What had he to lose? Not a ghost bloody country all covered with sleep where the black angel did weep. Not an old city street and ease. Gone to choose. And Wandering's brother walked on through the night with his hair and his face long along spinning cut from the night. The rally man's patter ran on through the dawn until we said so long to his skull. Shrill yell. Shining brightly red-rimmed and red-lined with the time of fused with the choice of the mind on ice face scraping chunks from the bills. Bleeding razors forget in the pain. Antiseptic remains cuckooed by. So you fly to the cozy brown snow of the east. Gonna choose again. Sacrificials remain, make it hard to forget where you come from. The stools of your eyes serve to realize fame. Choose again. Roben is refrain of the sacrilege recluse for the loss of a horse with the bowels and the tail of a rat. Come again. Choose to go. And if epiphany's terror reduced you to shame, have your head bobbed and weep. Choose a side to the arm. And if the stone glances off with didactics into a the color of mouse trails all screen, try between. If you choose, try to lose for the loss of remain. Come and start the game. I cheat you. Chi-chi-i, chi-chi-chi, kata-ko, choose-to-choose, choose-to-choose, choose-to-go.
silence that our post office rang the doorbell of Marsh that could come into their house. When Marshall Bronson opened the door, he found the coming tragedy. He had his yellow and his few slips of paper signed and left the 15-cent tip that Marsh had won out of another small beige pocket book for them. "What do you think it is?" she asked. Marsh stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown carpet cut and silent.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And today is March 27th, 2014. Stay with us, and you'll see, well, or at least hear what you will hear.
The whole problem for only one reason. That president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless, our problem for only one reason. Our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews?
genocide. Where is
home? And it's the Faithful Five singing Land. And again, a welcome for those of you who can't just be welcomed once to Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Again, and here we are at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, if you're listening in, you should also be considering calling in, because that way many voices, which are superior to one voice, or sometimes not. But we'll find out. We can do an experiment and see how that works. We actually have a second voice in the studio, the much beloved and not yet authenticated Dr. Michael O'Grady, who has arrived again to from his homeless haunts, probably using his medical degree to ensconce his way into the arms of questionable sexual partners. Hard to say what he's doing. He's probably just...
I'm existing.
Come a little closer to the mic if you want to be heard. If you don't, then talk over there on the other side of the room.
Okay, I'm just existing in my beingness. How about that?
That's good, but a little closer to the mic, even closer.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
There you go. You have to be kind of almost kissing the mic. It's one of those mics. It needs attention. It needs to be loved, so to speak.
Okay.
Welcome, Michael, to the studio again. Always an unexpected, but undesired situation here. Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
I'm here to support you, you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No doubt to pass on your experiences for the week, because you have been outside on the streets, so to speak, yes?
Living with the homeless, I've been for at least a few days through the week.
And you're and not... Go ahead.
Tonight I camp out and...
illegally camp out? You're admitting your criminal behavior here on the air?
Well, I haven't been caught yet. Let's put it like that.
So if we it was assigned, perhaps Deputy Chief Clark, to track you down and find you in your questionable hiding spot. You know,
if you can find me.
If we can find you, true enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually been looking over the records that the police department sent me. I mean, they sent me a new set of records today because about a year ago, a Deputy Chief Clark presented to the so-called homeless study session some alarming stats, as he described them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if he used the word alarming or not, but they were intended to, I think, alarm, because they showed 3,000 arrests and 4,000 citations and for homeless folks. And what he didn't talk about was exactly what those citations were for in any detail, and that we were able to get through Public Records Act requests, and then rather than go through and count each of the citations on the, I guess there are about 10 or 20 on each page for 212 pages of citations for just 2012, which I was working on last night, I asked... Jacqueline Dressler, who's the records person at the homeless. I'm going crazy here on the air. The police station, the Santa Cruz Barbon police station.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was very, helpful. They sent me a tabulation of stuff, which I'm going to pass on to all you listeners out there. Not only that, but to you as well, Michael.
Yeah, good.
And the largest category, it looks like, though I have to, again, look at this more closely to be sure, is 6.36 violations, which is the municipal code that governs survival sleeping at night for poor people, or if you want to take the police department, take back Santa Cruz point of view, dirty, scummy, homeless campers who just want to freeload and come to Santa Cruz and live off our beautiful environment, shoot up with needles and panhandle in the streets, prostitute themselves, whatever, they want a free ride. They want the enabling power of Santa Cruz to... That's, of course, that perspective I don't share. But at last we have some clear stats, and actually they came out a year ago in a somewhat summarized form from Deputy Chief Steve Clark, who was using them for a different purpose. His purpose was to show a homeless crime wave. My purpose is to explode this phony homeless crime wave by showing exactly what crimes it consists of.
Uh-huh.
And they are the following crimes: sitting on the sidewalk, too near a building, too near a crosswalk, too near a telephone, too near a bench. Sleeping after 11 o'clock at night on any public property or in your own vehicle, even if it's legally parked. Sleeping on much private property is also illegal, though less rarely ticketed. I mean, less frequently ticketed, more rarely ticketed. Open container, having a bottle of liquor that is open. You have to be threatening it with hit somebody with it. You don't have to be drunk and crazy and yowling and screaming. You just have an open container. Unless, of course, you're sitting at one of our trendy sidewalk cafes where you can do so with impunity on public property, on the sidewalk, toasting the people as they pass by, perhaps even watching an officer ticket or arrest someone for having an open container that they have.
Uh-huh.
Another offense is asking for spare change, panhandling, or soliciting, as they like to call it, although I used to think that word actually meant something like seeking to get money for sexual favors, prostituting oneself.
And you don't have to actually ask. You can just have a sign, can't you? And you could still get ticketed.
Correct.
Right?
It's still a crime. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine for the second offense.
Wow.
And, of course, for any of these offenses, if you don't go in and try to deal with these citations, in between the time you're looking for a place to store your stuff, a place to sleep at night, maybe a food line to go to, maybe if you're trying to look for a job, that as well, or deal with 100 other things, deal with health problems that come up, deal with family situations, just try to live an ordinary life.
Uh-huh.
The idea that you can then somehow take time off to run over to court, sit in line and pay $157 tickets or $40 to community options for community service or any number of things of this kind is far-fetched, to say the least, in my view. But in any case, these stats are all available and are there for the... hopefully I'll be able to put them forth to the community in a concise and persuasive manner to show that not only is this cruel, not only is this stupid, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
Have police officers spending thousands of staff hours going out ticketing people simply because paranoid and bigoted minority in this community believes that poor people do not have a right to live here. It is their land, their property, their ocean, their sky, their beaches is... pretty bad news, and it also, I think, it detracts from public safety generally. If people are running around looking for camping tickets, our officers are doing that. They're not dealing with other issues, mm-hmm. investigating rapes, assaults, burglaries, murders, thefts, fraud, Bob Lee's association with Wells Fargo Bank, he's our district attorney, things of that sort. And there's nothing new in this kind of... unequal situation where it's a form of class warfare. That is to say, one class takes the blame for the sins of the other class. And the other class, the sin, of course, is in not acknowledging that we all have certain profound and basic rights and needs in the world, and these have to be addressed one way or another. And then it's bad enough if you don't acknowledge the society has an obligation to address them. But then if you try to stop people themselves from addressing their own need to sleep at night, that to me is not just sinful but criminal in my view and should be treated as such.
They definitely have to find a place to sleep. I mean, the Armory Park, which
you have to find a place. You're not using motels and hotels. You're not sleeping in a friend's house, are you?
No.
You're sleeping illy. You have to find a place tonight to sleep, yeah?
Yeah, I do have a place in mind, but it's outside.
It's the place where you meet your destiny with the man in blue in the bed.
My Waterloo.
Possible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But the Armory Park is closing in about 2 weeks, so that will be...
The Armory Shelter, the Winter Armory Shelter.
Yeah, the shelter, which normally takes 75 to 100 people, and so there's going to be an extra 75 to 100 people looking for a place to sleep at night. So that's going to complicate things, probably.
Oh, big time.
But I was wondering, I know a lot of the money that looks after in terms of feeding and sheltering and stuff comes from federal grants. Is some local money channeled into that, into the expense of looking after those people?
Most of the money that goes to actually for people who get street meals, does not come from federal sources. It comes from churches, it comes from private charities, it comes from individual groups like Food Not Bombs. Right, there's Elm Street Mission. There's St. Francis Soup Kitchen. There is the homeless lack of services and regular meal service. Let's be fair to the Monica Martinez's little empire out there. They do provide meals twice a day.
Right.
Which is, you know, and I've heard that they're not so bad either. I haven't been out there to taste them. I'm not really terribly, I guess I am picky about food, but I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of stories of people. I haven't heard stories of people getting sick. I haven't heard stories of people not liking the meals. It's more the regimentation that they don't like. And some people complain of the sense of the lack of safety, or less the sordid quality, the people they have to rub shoulders with,
mm-hmm.
or drug use. They complain about drug use out there. You know, in a society, in a situation,
it's not so obvious actually. Drug use. I mean, I know it goes.
You go
on,
out
but
to the homeless, like you go to those meals.
No, actually, I very seldom go to the meals because I'm a vegetarian, and like you say, it's a little bit rough. So I tend to eat in restaurants, but occasionally I do go there. Occasionally I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like today I went there today because I happened to be in the area, and the meals. You know, there's not enough vegetables, basically. You know, they're not too bad, I suppose, under the circumstances. They're not so great either. You know, it's kind of like community cooking. But it's still to be appreciated, I suppose.
Sure. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Are trying to find exactly the stats.
Okay. Well, carrying on with that, one thing I've noticed, though, in the last, while, maybe last month or two, is there's less people fighting out there at night and fighting with each other and screaming and shouting.
How often do you go out there?
I might be there twice a week or three times,
And what do you, just you go to the armory? Is that
I go to the armory and often in the armory in the morning.
What time of day do you? I mean, people should understand what this is. This is the Homeless Lack of Services Center, 115 Coral Street, is a complex of different services. Well, there's River Street Shelter, there's a Paige Lee Loft, there's a Paige Smith Community House, there's Paul Lee Loft.
And they have a medical clinic.
There's the Reveille Family Shelter,
medical.
And there's the Homeless Persons Health Project, the medical clinic that you mentioned.
Which is nice,
But in order to get a view of what really is going on out there, I mean, I want to make sure people know when they take your perspective how long you're out there. You just pretty much come for the 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock pickup to the armor. You don't spend much of the time
otherwise. Exactly.
In fact, they don't let you spend time there unless you are in a, quote, program, right? You have to
you have to leave in the morning at something like 9 or 10. I'm not quite sure. I
from
can't
the
remember
homeless,
exactly.
You have to leave the armory at 5:30, but you have
ground.
To leave the homeless. Then you're bused down to the Homeless Lack of Services Center, and you get breakfast there, and then you have to leave there as well.
Yeah, you have to leave the homeless place out there, the whole premises, and then you come back, I suppose, at 4 in the evening when they start feeding people again. Yeah, they don't like you hanging around out there, except when it's raining at night, people do sleep under the overhang there.
Well, I'm going to, again, as I was saying, I was looking up some stats while we were talking.
Yeah.
These are the stats that I got from Jacqueline, I think, is her name Dressler? Forgive me, Jackie. I'm getting your name wrong, but she's the records person, and I want to thank her for forwarding these records. I was castigated by Deputy Chief Clark in a number of emails in the last day or two for calling her JD at one point.
Oh, really?
Because those are her initials, and I've referred to her that way. She's never complained about that.
Yeah.
But Steve Clark, who is the Deputy Chief and doesn't mind abusing activists, or at least that was his practice a year or two ago, and over the course of the 25 years he's been in the police department. If he's changed, that's always good to hear, but I'm rather skeptical that that's the case.
Right.
He was trying to demand that I show more respect for the records person by referring to her as Miss or Mrs. or whatever. And
well,
my response to that was...
The police, in my experience, always like respect, even though... they don't always behave like they should get respect, you know, brute force and ignorance.
In fact,
brute force and ignorance doesn't need respect, you know?
In fact, Michael, these stats, which are, I'm about to summarize, and actually they talk about each, the record of each officer in providing and harassing homeless people outside with these kinds of tickets is available. And I intend, if I carry through on this, I'm not sure I will or not, to have a sort of a real chart the next time we go out and do our protests of the police officers who have harassed the most homeless people over the last 2 years. And I want to give out this information to people who will be seeing these officers downtown so they can greet the officer and say, good work on giving on harassing 243 people last year, making it more difficult for them to sleep at night, giving them no alternatives, and forcing them into a court system where they're facing fines and facing even further penalties. Good work, officer. And I think this kind of public exposure of the police officers, who will tell you they're just doing their job, and in a way it's certainly true, but they also choose to continue their job. They don't have to sleep outside at night. They've got pretty reasonable salaries for what they do. And I don't know, I think anybody who's working in this society is in trouble often because they don't get paid what they're worth. And probably that's true with police officers, too. You know, I'm not saying that isn't the case with them. But the fact of the matter is, this great, heavy miasma, overcoat, mantle of support and kind of holiness and untouchability and heroism that the police force has to be dispelled. We have to understand what these people are doing to homeless people. And they're doing it under orders. They're doing it because they're told to do so. But they're doing it. That is the issue. And they're going to be doing it tonight while you're sleeping. They're going to be doing it tomorrow night and the next night and the night after. And it won't stop until this community makes it stop. And there's a part of this community that wants to intensify this kind of activity. Anyway, here are some of the stats. Camping is by far the biggest crime, the largest crime. If you look at the total of camping citations, say 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,300, it's about 75-80% of the tickets. It's 1,700.
It's good to have those statistics,
That's not 1,700. It's 500, 700. It's about 1,300 tickets in 2012. 1,300 tickets in 12 months, it's about 100 tickets a month.
So none of them are ever really paid, as far as I know.
That I don't know. Some people do pay their camping tickets, $157
really?
To pay a camping. That's the most recent cost for a camping ticket.
Yeah.
It's ironic. If you look at the actual code, it says $20 and no more than $20.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that's true. The city only gets $20. The rest of the $157 goes to the courts.
Really?
Yeah, as I understand it. I've never actually broken down where it goes, but I'm told these are court costs, city or county, state court costs.
Yeah.
So what do these go for? Well, the biggest majority of camping tickets is for actual 6.36010C, which is, that's 599 citations, 600 citations in 2012.
O-N-O-C, which is?
Which is camping outside any time of day with the intention of remaining overnight.
Oh.
So if a police officer or a ranger, and this does not include the ranger stats, this is only the police department, so we can suspect that there may even be double this number, if you want to, or maybe less.
You could probably get those stats under Freedom of Information, right?
That's correct, under the Public Records Act in California, or maybe, I don't know about the federal, because it's not a federal agency, but the Freedom of Information Act is a federal law. But this is the law that is used to ticket someone any time of the day or night.
Yeah.
If you find them with camping equipment and they're foolish enough to tell you that they intend to remain the night. So all you
might be able to still give you a ticket.
Right. I mean, if they find you with a tent set up and a stove, then they can use that inferentially.
Yeah.
And, of course, some people have protective equipment even in the middle of night of a drought winter when there's not a lot of rain.
Sure.
Although, the last few days there has been some rain.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hasn't been terribly warm either.
Right.
So that's the largest number of tickets. The second largest number of tickets, 459 in 2012, is the sleeping ban. If you fall asleep outside between the hours of 11 and 8:30, you don't have to be camping, you don't have to have any equipment, you don't have to intend to remain the night, you just have to be asleep. Or they have to say.
Between 11 at night and 8 in the morning.
8:30 in the morning.
You know, in San Francisco, in certain parts of the city, there's a law up there called the sit and lie law.
The sit and lie law. We have it here, too. They got it from us.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
But that allows people in certain parts of the city to actually sleep on the sidewalk.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Mm-mm. It allows people to sit down on the sidewalk.
Oh.
I think it's a citywide law, the sit lie law, which passed about 2 or 3 years ago in an initiative sponsored by Mayor, what's his name, Gavin Newman.
Oh, really?
Newsom, sorry.
Yeah.
It was passed narrowly, but it was passed.
Well,
we had a law that preceded that. We have a sitting ban similarly. Wow. We don't have a citywide sitting ban.
Yeah.
We have a sitting ban in the business districts, the commercial districts, the beachfront districts, in areas where people gather and where tourists are.
Yeah, I see.
But we don't have a law that, and in Los Angeles, you are allowed to sleep at night on the streets. Not because the city council got generous or sane or sensible, but because the court said you can't. It's ridiculous for a couple of reasons to require people. Not only does it violate their rights, which, by the by, who cares about the poor people anyway, but it also involves the courts unnecessarily because a person who goes into court can mount a necessity defense because he can say there are no shelters.
Right.
I have to sleep at night.
Or
they're full. Well, there are so few shelters that it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. It's useless to try to go to them because they got long waiting lists. Mm-hmm. That was shown to be the case in L.A. under the Jones case back in 2006, 2007, and so the city settled and they said, okay, we agree. They threw out the law entirely, the court did. And so the city said, okay, we want to keep the law. We'll keep the law, but we'll only enforce it during the day, and we'll enforce it at night if you're within 10 feet of a business entrance.
Oh.
In Santa Cruz, we have a worse situation. If you're within 14 feet, first of all, you can't sleep anywhere, anytime, anyhow, outside in Santa Cruz. That is illegal. On every bit of public property, without exception.
Now, you would think they would take some land that they have. They must have parcels of land here and there and everywhere around.
Why would
the
you
city,
think that?
And make them into tent
why,
cities.
Why would you think that?
Well, that's be based on compassion and help.
I'm sorry, that
people.
Would only enable them. It would have a magnet effect. It would have all the poor people in the country coming to Santa Cruz to avail themselves of the wonderful tent city that has come up. That's the argument that's used. Now, that argument was exploded when the city council, under pressure from homeless activists and other progressives, actually voted in a majority of people who claimed they wanted to end the sleeping ban. That was in 1998. And there actually was a task force to examine the camping ordinance, which considered it in the months of December 1998, January and February of 1999. And they went to different cities that had repealed their sleeping bans at night. And they found no additional influx of people.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Right.
I mean, that's not why people come to towns. They come
that's
to towns.
So that's just like an excuse, right?
Well, that was their finding. Now, but that's what's constantly being used, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're using needle hysteria and drug use.
Yeah, fear tactics.
They're claiming that this is a group of ne'er-do-wells. It's the same argument you've heard for the last few hundred years that simply maligns poor people as a group of worthless, dangerous people. And in a certain sense, they are dangerous.
Some.
They are dangerous.
I wouldn't say.
In a certain sense, they are dangerous because they suggest that everybody has a right to a piece of the pie. Everyone has a right to live on the land. Everyone has a right to sleep at night. Everyone has a right to a decent income and a decent job and a place in the society. That is what poor people say. And they're the majority of people in the world. So, yes, they're a danger. They're a danger to the privileges and power of another class of people. And that's true. That's true in Santa Cruz as it is anywhere else.
Right.
So the next largest group of citations is the outside sleeping between 11 and 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
The next group after that is setting up bedding or having a blanket. If you have a blanket and you're covering up with a blanket after 11 o'clock at night, that is also a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And 195 citations were issued, presumably to 195 people, though maybe various people were chronic offenders and had the temerity to try to sleep every night. I mean, these homeless people think they can get away with anything. Mr. O'Grady, you yourself are going to walk out of the studio and just fare thee well right down the road and just engage in criminal behavior, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to breathe the same air as everyone else. And,
it's not about breathing air. It's about sleeping on our property.
I'm going to get the sunshine from the same sun as everyone else.
It's about the moonshine, son, not the sunshine. It's at night we're talking about. You can sleep all you want during the day, but don't you dare sleep after 11 o'clock at night. That's the law.
That's not good.
The DA, Bob Lee, has got opening up offices downtown to make sure that he's going to help with his district attorneys to enforce that law. If you get ticketed and you don't go into court and pay your fines, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble.
In jail, maybe?
Yeah. Although he is assuring people it's not going to cost money to put people in jail, he'll put them into programs, which is a bunch of horseshit, in my view. Those programs don't exist. They would cost even more money than jail, or at least as much.
Yeah.
So then if you look further at the other breakdown.
I do think.
Let me finish this.
Yeah, okay.
The other breakdown of these statistics is if you are sleeping in a vehicle, there were 34 tickets issued for sleeping in a vehicle. There were, I think, 42 tickets issued for sleeping in a structure. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in Santa Cruz, it is illegal to sleep in a movie theater, privately owned, illegal to sleep in a restaurant, illegal to sleep in a doctor's office.
Wow.
It's illegal to fall asleep in a hospital.
What about a bus?
Oh, yeah, illegal to sleep in any vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, if you're in the city limits, after 11 o'clock at night. Now, you can do it before 11 o'clock. So all you law-abiding citizens, make sure you get your sleepy time hours in before 11. You were going to say, go ahead.
I was just curious about the bus. Some people, I've seen people get on buses and they stay on the bus for a few hours sleeping. And the bus comes and goes to its destination. So, it's too bad, isn't it? I mean, all that thing could be solved by just opening not big tent cities, but small tent cities spread out in different parts of the city. To me, that looks like the answer. Right there. And, many churches feed people, which is a good thing. And, I think that would take care of a lot of things. The only thing that's not that these people don't get is anger management and psychological treatment. I mean, there is some going on, but most people don't avail of it. And, if they cause trouble or are violent, they should be made to attend some kind of psychological...
You're talking about our police force, perhaps?
No, I'm not. But
aren't they the guys that have the guns and use the
actually,
threat of violence?
Now that you mention it, that would be a very good thing to put all the policemen through some kind of psychological testing where they won't just lose their head under certain provocative circumstances, just like when they were killing that transient guy. There were six of them there just beating...
Fullerton.
In Fullerton, uh-huh. Yeah. But I saw the video. It was savage. It was like just savage dogs beating
up. Well, you're preaching to the choir
I want to remind the people out there of the nature of some of our police force. When they should be under strict psychological testing to see if they can handle these
situations. I don't think it would help, frankly. I think it has nothing to do really with the psychological qualities. It has to do with the institutional practices of the police department and the kind of mythos that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They are utterly opaque. They have no accountability. Why should you bother to be concerned about those issues? Like the military.
Yeah.
They don't care if they're raping people in the military.
Right.
The general gets away with it. You saw that recently in the case of this guy who got what? He didn't even get dishonorably discharged.
He got probation for a few years.
He was threatening to kill this woman and her family if she didn't give him a blowjob. So, again, let me finish, though, the stats that this citation has.
For the last 20 years, the New York police force have never been all these killings that are going on of young people. Not one policeman was ever charged and did time for it in the last 20 years.
So I think you may be thinking of the FBI, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that was a recent stat about the FBI. It may be true for the New York Police Force, too.
Yeah, it might be.
The FBI
has always
investigated itself and found all its shootings were justified.
I think you're right.
Sort of similar to what Chief Vogel did, our police chief, when he assigned two people. He wasn't the police chief at the time. He assigned officers to infiltrate a political group, the group that was planning this peaceful DIY New Year's Eve parade that happens every year, increasingly in small numbers, unfortunately. And they were surveilling people illegally. They were repressing free speech by doing it. And his chief at that time told him to investigate this because it wasn't appropriate. And he assigned himself to investigate it. He's the one who originally proposed the whole thing. He investigated it, found he was not guilty of any crime, and his police chief rubber-stamped that. The mayor rubber-stamped that. The city manager rubber-stamped that.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, these police officers and these... I mean, our problem is going to be, how do we get these stats out to the community and raise these issues in ways that people care about and understand? Other things that are happening in terms of... The main category, as I said, almost far and away, the largest category of sites in 2012 was violations of either the sleeping ban or the camping ban or the blanket ban. Those are the three bans that are part of 6.36, the camping ordinance. The next largest number of citations was for panhandling, and there were 79 of those. After that, there was if you have put together all the ordinances that were, in fact, all the other citations, you'll find there were about 200 other tickets out of a total of 1,300 tickets. So the police force, far and away, is spending most of its time giving sleeping ban and camping tickets rather than, as you suggest, doing the obvious, setting up low-income campgrounds with toilets and showers and so forth, which, for example, Sonoma is doing for people at least in vehicles, Sonoma County up north above San Francisco. So, and of course, we know that on Sunday there's going to be a benefit for the sanctuary campground that Brent Adams is working on. That's an attempt to get respectable citizens in the community to support a quote, well-managed campground, a drug-free, alcohol-free, I don't know, everyone's behaving in a rosy manner, very limited number of people. And that, of course, certainly has some appeal to those of us who don't live outside, because we like to think that it's a compassionate solution. We like to, and I mention it all the time, but I think more of campgrounds rather than a campground. I think also more of I've come more and more to believe that we need to allow people the freedom to be able to sleep legally, not just somewhere, but in numerous places, not just in controlled areas. See, is that we have a knock at the door here. Could be the FCC coming, the Federal Communications Commission. We'll see who's arrived. Oh, it's what's his name? It's a former Free Radio broadcaster who's brought his backpack. I'm sorry, so you have to leave your backpack outside. Yeah. So these are new stats.
I agree, Robert.
These are the stats that we've gotten from the police department recently, very recently. I got them last night. So the next question is, how much money are they spending on this? On an average, an officer's beat, how much time does it take to write out a citation of this kind?
I saw what happened just as I walked here on the avenue.
I want to hear about that. How much time is involved in processing a citation?
Guy just sitting on a bench and he's right.
And so that's the issue that, you know, we really have to research and publicize.
But you know, it's a lot safer for them to give a ticket to somebody who's not doing anything that's really all that illegal than to go after real crime.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, I'm going to turn now to, first of all, you say you want to give any, you two have any street reports of anything that's happened on the streets you want to point out before I go to those who do? No, nothing further. And, of course, anybody out there who wants to call in at 427-3772, please do, because that's what makes the show interesting to listen to. And am I getting bored? Well, not quite yet, but let's see what's happening.
Are you getting boring?
That's another issue.
More important.
So, let's see. Here's some stuff from about a week ago. We didn't have a protest yesterday. The Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom group that I work with, and protest masterminded by an anonymous kingpin whose name I will not mention. We have been going to the downtown Pacific Avenue protesting the downtown ordinances, which are
part of the coffee picket,
which are enforced far less frequently than the sleeping ban, apparently take up far less time. Although these citations may be selectively presented, this may not be all the citations. I think it.
What exactly did you ask for?
I think it does actually involve. Because there are sitting tickets here as well.
Smoking and skateboarding and bikes and all that too?
I don't know about bikes, and that's an interesting omission if that's the case. And I think we're going to have to make a secondary request to get more information. And actually, we have been able to get, thanks to the work of John Colby, who's an activist who notes he's been driven away from Santa Cruz by harassment, both from the John Stewart Company and from failure of the police department to be of assistance in a whole struggle he was having with management there in terms of dealing with public safety problems he was having, as he described them, real public safety problems. We have a situation where...
What did he get?
Where most of the tickets are sleeping ban tickets. And so our activities on the streets of Santa Cruz, which are really... We're kind of piggybacking on the recent accordion ban, or it's actually a musician ban, that finally has swept up the costumed performer, the great Morgani. And he hasn't come back, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And there haven't been any changes in the law. There has been, apparently, the police have been backing off in their enforcement practices somewhat. Although it depends on who you're
talking
who
to.
You're thinking of. You know, it depends on
whatever happened to the marimba? They used to always be down there.
And so...
It's just a cold and desolate place now.
And so the point is that most of the citations and the problems that homeless people face have to do with harassment outside the downtown area. But that's because homeless people can't really do anything about sleeping. They have to sleep. Mm-hmm. But they can't avoid the downtown area. And in many cases, they can try to follow the tripwire rules that the city, it's the combination of the police department, city manager's office, city council, has set up. It essentially gives the police and merchants a blank check in driving away people they don't like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not entirely true. In theory, you can continue to try to step around all this. But if police officers, it can make it very uncomfortable for you down there.
Yeah.
And they have for various people over the years, particularly people who say this is abusive what you're doing.
Oh, well, then it's not content neutral. Although they're going after political people.
At some point, it maybe is also true that the people that do protest get ignored by the police because they realize that they're giving them more grist for their mill.
Particularly, yeah, well, they're scared of you.
Particularly if these people are carrying cameras
more cameras downtown.
Or video equipment. Now, Free, I know you're eager to break in, so why don't you have some comments? Because I really find it a little hard to continue when I'm talking and you're interrupting a lot. But go ahead.
Stop you from going on and on. Well, I don't know if you've mentioned about the Santa Cruz 11, but it recently came to light that Bob Lee actually borrowed $30,000 from Wells Fargo, the same people that the defendants are going to have to pay their restitution to, are around the same amount of money.
I've mentioned that repeatedly in past shows, yes.
But did you see recently the article in the paper about Wells Fargo, they found a manual about, and the manual was directed at the staff, the staff involved with the mortgages, on how to forge documents.
They have to train their staff, Michael. I don't see what your problem is here. I mean, I think that and the Bank of America, I think the revelations today about the Bank of America and its behavior. Uh-huh. These large banks, of course, are major criminals, and in terms of how they treated people.
Yeah, exactly.
And they are, their criminal activity takes place in Santa Cruz as well as elsewhere.
Oh yeah.
And so the real issue is, how does the community deal with this? Other than we do a lot of whining about the DA. We know he's not going to do shit about this. And there's nothing wrong with whining in terms of, raising the issue and showing how corrupt they are. Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess insofar as that mobilizes the community to say, they're not doing something, we got to do something. But the real question is, what do we do next? And I guess that's something.
What can we do?
And that's the question. And that or as Lenin put it, what is to be done?
I think what's to be done is people should move their account out of regular banks, which have this corruption, strong corruption streak, and move them into credit unions where there's not the same freedom for corruption,
Well,
that's what Occupy did.
Well, that's I don't know if that's true, actually. I mean, I don't know. I've heard that said a lot, but I've never, I've never researched what the credit unions do with their money, how they treat people. I mean, I'm hoping it's true because I move my money to a credit union, but I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think that's true. I don't know that is the case.
But the thing is, the Federal Reserve will just lend the big banks more money. I mean, they don't really even need reserves anymore.
So, I have these stats. We put in two major Public Records Act requests. Actually, I put in one which asked for the background of Steve Clark, Deputy Chief of Police's basis for essentially this whole pogrom, this whole vigilante campaign, this whole witch hunt against homeless people that has been going on for decades, but actually has been intensified over the last year through the Task Force on Public Hysteria, or the Task Force on Public Safety, as they call themselves, and the whole raft of new restrictive ordinances citywide as well as downtown. And then this whole new policy of the 100 chronic offenders, which is to say, if you've gotten more than three sleeping tickets, you are going to be treated as a jailable criminal for every single infraction thereafter, whether it's a sleeping infraction or a jaywalking infraction or sitting next to a building. And I don't yet have the stats, and I don't know if even I probably haven't yet made a Public Records Act request on these stats for that issue, but we need to find them out, and hopefully
the ones that got the public offender thing.
Those who those who have been prosecuted for either under one of two codes, one that says every ticket after the first three in a 6-month period becomes a misdemeanor, and the second that says if you get three tickets, that itself can be prosecuted as a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. Those are the two crimes that the city attorney proposed, and the city council, with Don Lane voting yes, voted into law 5 years ago. Hmm. And I'm curious to know what the situation is with that.
Well, I did hear recently, someone who's been parsing that data, that one of your favorite online detractors has 7 or 8 sleeping tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it affects a lot of people, and I'm, if we want to segue into the detractor stuff, people don't have to agree with each other. You and I, Free, are often in disagreement, and I get really annoyed with you, gotten annoyed with you in the
that
last five in the last 5 minutes, and it's difficult. So, because you see, I'm trying to say something, and you're interrupting with something else.
So rude, sorry.
No, it's just it takes away from what I'm trying to do, which is to get some points out. And the point here is that the detractors are going to be detracting. The real issue, though, are the rights of people who are poor. Detractors are not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have issues with all kinds of different people that come up, and you can argue about those issues. That's fine. But the real issue that we all share is to be treated fairly, and to find some way to stand up against this wave of bullshit that we constantly face, or that we are threatened with facing. It doesn't happen all the time. We've got friendly fascism here and there. I mean, you don't see it because some people, I think, it's
hidden from the majority.
And I don't think even police officers don't like to admit this is happening. Even politicians will say, they'll look at some worse situation in some other country or some other state and say, look how good we are. This is a constant refrain of Mike Rotkin when he was a council member and five-time mayor. Mm-hmm. He would say, oh, you know, Santa Cruz has the most, you know, spends the most per capita on homeless people in the state, which wasn't true.
For staff.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even true for that, I don't think. In any case, yeah, so I'm going to try to get some stats on the 100 Chronic Offender Program, which I haven't done yet.
Have they put that list together yet, or are
I
they
don't
working
know.
On it?
You know, I called. Mm-hmm. Several calls have been put into the district attorney's office. I think I've called at least once, I called today, and said, can you please send me the details of where your office is, what your criterion are. You know, I didn't ask for, you know, wanted posters for the 100 most chronic offenders. There already are wanted posters up in bars, or at least in liquor stores, downtown. I was told by one individual a couple nights ago who has his picture on that flyer, he says, for because he's an alcoholic and they don't want him to buy booze. And you might say that's a kindness. I don't know. I'm actually not enough of an expert on alcoholism to be able to suggest whether it's a good idea to let people go through DTs and healthy for them to do that, or whether, you know, it's healthier for them to kill themselves by drinking than they're delivered to death. I don't know what the story is, but I know that it probably should be a decision they make, even though it is an addiction and even though it is something that, you know, people are sick with. But it's still their right to make choices. So there's a sort of a fuzzy line there for me. I'm going to give you guys a chance if you want to comment on anything I've said, because I want to kind of roll into some of these tapes. I want to remind you, for all listeners out there, that you can call in. 427-3772 is a call-in number. 427-3772 is the number to call.
So, Robert, you said that you've been getting reports from people that have been jailed on the three strike or the three infractions. It's a misdemeanor.
I've received secondhand reports, and I've also received direct reports on situations that may be that. It's a little ambiguous. I think some of them are actually on this tape. We may actually go to the actual accounts. Maybe we should just do that. And I can't, other than that, I can't give you a lot of really solid information. I did make a Public Records Act request to the city attorney's office, and I believe I got from them a document that showed, and I think I may have shown it to you, Free, that indicated 27 people at least have been jailed under this law in the last year or two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hmm. So I'm going to play some street reports now, and here we go. Can you slow that down a bit for you?
Robert has not yet entered the digital age.
Getting some new information. Do we want this to be anonymous, or do you mind if I say who it's from? It's from an anonymous source, from a person who works regularly on the streets here as a vendor or performer, and this person tells me that first, the person mentions that a friend of hers, or an acquaintance, got a warrant for apparently three tickets, two of which were camping tickets or sleeping tickets, one of which was a jaywalking ticket. I think I have that right. And the warrant was resolved by, I don't know, agreeing to pay a fine or do a schedule or something to that effect. But then there was another case of an arrest. The second case, there was a failure to appear warrant that went out because of several infractions, perhaps more than three, that were not resolved either by an appearance in court or by the payment of the fine. So apparently the impression of this person is that the DA is putting out warrants for unattended infractions with the 100 Chronic Offenders Program. We don't have any specifics. Like, I don't believe this person has seen a DA walking down the street with a checklist, or we don't know that the DA's office is actually open downtown, which reportedly they're going to do, or DA Bodley said he was going to do at the city council. But there was a third case which this person mentioned, which said that a police officer said, you have a warrant out for failure to deal with infractions, but we're going to kick the date ahead, so we'll give you a little chance to deal with it in court before we arrest you, if I understand that correctly. So this is not good news, but it's not, on the other hand, unexpected news, given the crackdown. And I've also received an admonition from another person that reminds us that if, unless a person specifically wants to reveal their sleeping spot, which I often encourage people not to do, but sometimes they do for one reason or another, that it's very important to keep these matters in confidence, because particularly with women, there are chances not just of police harassment, but of other more serious forms of assault and harassment. So I'm talking with
Mark Beckner.
And Mark, you've
got a Oz on the street.
And Mark, you're currently creating a kind of a copper tree, it looks like.
That's correct. It's a beach glass bonsais.
And I know at one point, about 2 or 3 months ago, you were creating with a kind of a burning iron, a soldering iron, different signs out of beach driftwood.
No, that was not me. That was someone else. That
I'm
was
sorry.
That was I think that was Bob Noxious.
I think you're right. I apologize for that.
That's okay. Give credit where credit is due.
And what you have today is a number of kind of pendants on a small table covered with a black velvet cloth as you work here. And you say that you've seen very few, if any, police or hosts?
Not this weekend at all. The hosts come through, and they haven't been enforcing the one-hour rule at all. They've not been chasing anyone out. Matter of fact, I'm less than 10 feet away from Kate, the scarf lady, who's awesome, by the way. You need to come down and buy her scarves. She's an awesome woman.
And I should say that if you want to find street vendors of different kinds, they are increasingly few and far between. But they are, you can often find Kate and perhaps Mark. That was the first time I'd seen him for a while. This account is from about a week ago or a few days ago, somewhere at that time, in front of the coffee roasting company or one of the nearby stores. So check her out and see if you like what she's got. Kind of expensive, $20 for scarves, but still beautiful scarves and a very beautiful person as well.
Anyways, I'm about 10 feet from her, and the hospitality clerks aren't enforcing any of that former, what I like to call angst paper. Now it's just getting better around here, and we hope and pray that in the future, street performers and stuff will be able to close down this strip mall right here to all these loud motorcycles that are avoiding our noise ordinance. How come they don't ticket those guys? Can't play amplify music, but they got Harleys running up and down this part of the town making all kind of noxious noise. So we're going to shut this thing down, we're going to cobblestone it, and we're going to turn it into an outdoor cafe like in Europe. They have a place called the Königstrasse. It's King Street, and it's nothing but outdoor performers for 2.5 miles. The reason they come there is because they want to come and see the artists. Come see me. I'm in front of the Palomar. Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3. I'm at the Lighthouse when it's really nice. Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3. You will see SEA. It's BGB. That's Beach Glass Bonsais, folks. Thanks for letting me talk.
Oh, yeah. No problem, Mark. I've heard it said that, however, there is a crackdown on people who are getting sleeping tickets and other trivial tickets under the so-called 100 Chronic Offenders program. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, our friend Kate, the scarf lady right here, has been pressured and pressured and pressured, sleeping in her car as a single lady, hurting not a single soul anywhere, and the officers just the other day gave her a ticket for in her car. They gave her a ticket because it's the rules. Once they pull up on a vehicle, they have to radio it in, and once they've radioed in, they're just following the rules of the cop shops that's been dictated to them by the downtown organization. The downtown associates are the ones that dictated this. People, you need to pray for the cops. They have the toughest job there is in the United States. Right now, it's tougher than the poor veterans that have been over in Afghanistan. At least they get to shoot the stupid people. Okay, there's some stupid people in this town. These officers don't intend to hurt people, but sometimes these people just don't stop. Look, at every time I was arrested for whatever cause it might have been, I put my arms down and didn't even, okay, I go peacefully. Those poor officers got to listen to angst every single day. They have to listen to lies and cheats and steals and people with guns and knives and all that stuff. Those poor people need to be prayed for. They're getting better, but Kate, for example, Once the officer went up there and had addressed her, he did not know who was in the car, but it had been radioed in.
He didn't have to give her a ticket. There has to be...
Let me finish, please.
I will, but I want to say there has to be evidence that she's sleeping, not that she's in a vehicle.
When he pulls up on a vehicle, he has to radio in the license plate to tell him where he is at and what's going on, because he's traveling by himself. And when he got finished talking to her, he says, you know, I'm supposed to write you the ticket because now I have to carry it forward. I did not make the rules. I just follow them as other ordinance people do. And I have to write you a ticket because I've already radioed it in. He said, I do not want to give you a ticket, but I have to.
You have more sympathy with these people than I do, for sure, Mark.
I have sympathy for the devil.
Well, good for you. That shows you have a bigger heart than some of us. Any other thoughts before I take up?
And just commenting on that, the police officer, as you were saying, Free, has discretion on this issue. But more important, they have to have probable cause to write a citation. And they have to, in order to do that, it's not a question whether somebody downtown tells them, well, you've radioed something in, you have to write a ticket. No. It's a question of whether a crime has actually been committed, even the pseudo-crime of the sleeping ban on the camping ordinances.
Mm-hmm. It makes the cop look like less the bad guy.
And the problem is that it's not just that, but in the eyes of somebody like Mark, who's probably had to deal with a lot of cops, and this is sort of like the Stockholm syndrome. You know, if you have to deal with all these people all the time, you like to think that somehow they really have a good heart and they're going to be your friend, and maybe they go after these other people, but they're not going to go after you. And
some activists get that Stockholm syndrome as well.
It's easy to fall into. And it's it's something that I find, one of the reasons I try to avoid, I notice myself doing with people in power. I see, I keep this, if only, gosh, they're paying attention to me. Don Lane has called me back. Oh, I got a call from Micah Posner.
Are you saying you don't let Micah win at Magic?
we don't want to talk about that. But, in fact, I've got more information on Councilmember Posner's latest pose, so to speak.
Well, something else he said that turn it into a place where the artists can congregate and people come there. I was just reading on Yahoo News that like 400 malls have closed in the USA and there's only 1,100 left. It's because they're no longer a hangout. The malls are just like downtown. The people that hang out are not welcome. They want people to shop and go, And so if you hang out, you're more likely to buy something. So they're actually shooting themselves in the foot by getting rid of all those artists. Fewer people will come downtown. They'll just stay at the beach, not even bother. Because why bother coming here? I mean, the shopping's better in Capitola anyways.
Well, we've been making that argument for years, and it doesn't seem to penetrate.
They're always worried. That's why all these laws are there, is because they're not making as much money as they should and stuff. But they're really, it's because of their own stupid fucking policies.
And it's also, we have a situation where people have, Amazon and online purchases that are, to a large extent, replacing,
At the bookstores, yes, that's true.
And with other,
records,
with
books, and
with other kinds of things as well. Although, I guess if you have to go to a store.
I'm thinking like food and stuff. I mean, if you're hanging out, even at the protest last year, someone forgot to bring the coffee, so one of our members had to go buy some coffee from one of the coffee shops that we're protesting against. But we aren't asking for a boycott. We're just being informational, because we want people to be able to go in there eventually anyway, so a boycott doesn't really make any sense.
What a riff.
But we were hanging out, so she had to get some coffee. It does produce business down there when people hang out down there.
And in fact, of course, that is what the initial focus of our protest was, that coffee shops, places where
people hang out,
where homeless people have to come in the mornings in order, and I like the word homeless free. I know you don't think it's a big seller, but I think it's important. It's the issue that I think I'm focused on here, which is that, in the morning when you come trudging off the levee after getting, hassled or drenched, drenched by the rain or hassled by the police, spend a good night, I don't know. You want to buy a cup of coffee. If they tell you can't, you have your backpack with you, leave it outside so someone else can pick it up, or they can write you a ticket for unattended property.
Police can take it. Yeah.
I mean, it can be abusive. And, in fact, that's why we began this protest in front of the coffee roasting company, because do seem to allow backpacks inside of some kind, they claim to have a no-backpacks policy. Now, as I've mentioned before, Pete's, which originally told me, I was there, I'm hard of hearing, but I'm not that hard of hearing, said, yes, we do not allow backpacks. Now, when I went in there 3 or 4 days ago, chatting with Moo, the musician, who is a great supporter of Pete's, he said, no, they allow backpacks. And I did see a backpack or two in there. And I went up to the manager.
I have heard that before our protest that they did allow backs. But you never know.
I mean, and I went, well, they told me they didn't. You know,
right.
And
I mean, they have a policy, and yet they don't follow their own policy.
Right. Well,
like
I asked them what the policy was, and they said, no, it's not our policy. That was a misunderstanding. So that's the latest thing that
they must have changed their policy.
Possibly.
You got that from like a manager or someone behind the counter?
Well, yeah, it was from someone behind the counter, but there were two people there, and they both agreed.
Well, that's good. So maybe the protest is having some effect.
It's possibly the case. And we certainly, you know, we don't make a large impact. We do, if you want to read more about this,
it's mostly just tough.
If you want to read more about this boycott bigotry backpack, allow the backpacks in protest, go to the Santa Cruz Indie Media and look up the stories there. We have been, there's occasionally photos, there's this flyers you can download. And I encourage you, when you go to a coffee shop, if you ask them, do you allow backpacks in here? And if they say, you know, yes, say that, and then you say, homeless backpacks, homeless people with big backpacks, provided they're not blocking the way or assuming that it doesn't smell like shit or something, you know, is that okay? Yeah. And if they say no, then say, well, you know, I want to talk to your boss about it. Give me your boss's name. I want to keep, you know, coming to you because I like your coffee. I like hanging out here in the morning. Right. And I have felt in the past you've allowed everybody in here, and now you don't.
Right.
This kind of toxic situation is spreading all over, and it is something that I'm not going to support with my money.
But also, it's something for the general public to understand very easily. You know, the Cruzio protest, most people don't have a 24-hour account there. They didn't really get it. But everybody's been in a coffee shop. It's very easy to understand. And when I tell them they don't allow you with a backpack, they go, what? You know, it just doesn't.
So,
you know,
so what Free is talking about when he says the Cruzio protest is there was an individual, Sean Deluge, who was a client of the Cruzio Works, the internet company, that, you know, a lot of people use because it's considered to be local and, you know, friendly and so forth. And they took his money, and then a hostile neighbor just saw his son out front watching their bikes and said, you can't be here. You're a homeless person. You're a junkie. We don't want you here. And he said, my father is a client here. I'm watching the bikes. And the father came out and said, what's going on? When he walked inside, an hour later, they told him, we don't want your money, you have to leave, because we have to maintain our good relationship with our neighbors. And we did some protesting there, and I didn't really expect they would necessarily change their policy. It's a difficult thing to expect. But it does exert a kind of pressure generally
on
businesses.
Discrimination. It's clearly discrimination.
Yes.
But the general public just doesn't get it.
And
they get the coffee thing right away.
The protest does have an impact, I think, on other businesses who say, if we discriminate, we may be facing this kind of protest.
Exactly.
So even if it isn't, even if, you know, the Cruzio protest was not the most successful thing in terms of explicitly getting them to change their policy, I think it's a good thing to do. Both, you know, because it's the right thing to do, and also because it spreads the word. Now we also need to be doing things like protests at the library, because there, the library apparently, according to several accounts, is discriminating against homeless people who are disabled. Which is a violation, as I understand.
They can be sued under federal law.
Which I understand is a violation of federal law, but since we never have attorneys, we can't sue. But we can raise the issue in the public eye and embarrass their asses. And also, there's a much kind of broader clientele that goes to the library than goes to Cruzio Works or the coffee shops.
Right. Well, the coffee shop is everybody downtown, though. We're right in the middle of town, so everybody walking by.
And I like that, too. You know, it's just some people are getting a little tired of that particular protest. And they
would like to go and have lunch instead.
And they want to go somewhere else, you know. I mean, anyway, we'll see what happens. Well, if you're interested in this protest, listeners out there, and if you had experience in coffee shops, backpack bigotry or not, around homeless discrimination, let us know. In fact, you can call in right now. 427-3772, 427-FRSC is what you're listening to. Free Radio Santa Cruz at 101.3 is our station here, so give a call.
Also, if you're an activist, this is a very easy protest to do. Just to get the coffee is very easy to make. And it's a local issue. You're right in the center of town. A lot of people walk up to the table and talk to us and stuff, whereas, you know, instead of just going to the clock tower and waving signs in front of cars, you know, I think it's a much more effective kind of protest.
And we have a meeting every Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe, where we kind of, you know, gear ourselves up for the protest. So in a way, if we're going to do it, we'd like to plan beforehand, because signs need to be made, coffee needs to be arranged for, and so forth.
I wouldn't recommend that meeting. I mean, I have a street report on that. Three people left that meeting last week because of all the dissension going on.
So if you want to brave the dissension, come to the meeting. I'll be there, and I will be happy to throw coffee at you if you get too outrageous.
No, Robert never gets physical, but he does get very verbal.
Fuck you, Free.
That's right.
So let's hear some more from the street interviews, and perhaps you, 427-3772.
One moment. I like to pause and think.
Well, you said a great deal. I mean, if you have more, I'll be right over here. Go ahead, Mark.
Final comment. This is all I have to say about Santa Cruz. Let's keep it weird, people.
Thank you, Mark. I'll throw that in
from an anonymous source here that about Chip, the man who's known by one name, who's the, I always regard him as a sort of the hired pimp of the Downtown Association. He's also, in the past, he's been an artist along with a guy called Kirby, who have kind of gone around the state in a bus, I'm told by my source here, hooking into different art communities and different cities, being ambassadors of goodwill. I've also heard from our man here that when he had to do community service 40 hours, it cost him $35 to do that. He did a lot of work in the tannery and physical work, setting in, I guess, construction work. And I guess his main concern, and you know, your main concern has been that, you know, that street performers like yourself, and you are a flautist, you've played the flute in the past, haven't recently heard you out there, but you do, right?
Never again.
Because you were in fact, ticketed for it, right?
I was hassled and ticketed more than a few times and paid off a few $100 worth of time and money. So
that discouraged you from doing the kind of performing you were doing?
Yeah, not in this town again, no.
And you also mentioned that for reasons that they would not explain to you, you were banned from the coffee roasting company, even though you asked the manager, Khaki, to explain it, and she declined to do so. That you knew the higher-up above her, and she's a friend of yours, so apparently there was no real problem. But the owner, apparently, it's not clear where it came from, and you've been instead using here in Pete's, where you've had no problem, and you find this service good, and the bathroom service acceptable, and so forth.
Yeah. Well, you know, all that kind of stuff, I think, has to do with a pattern of harassment in the downtown for people that are not seen as happy out-of-town shoppers who are here for a day or so to drop as many dollars as possible and then head over 17. That's just, I think, the way the town operates.
I did learn from the two managers here, and I don't have their names, that they say that it was a misunderstanding that they banned backpacks. This is what was told to me when we came here 4 weeks ago. We asked, do you have a policy regarding backpacks? And yes, we don't allow them in here. And I've since repeated that information. But I also have seen, and you've just...
We're talking about Pete's. The two of us are sitting in Pete's coffee shop chatting. This is Moose, a longtime flautist in Santa Cruz. Originally wanted to be anonymous, eventually agreed to be identified.
Tell me that... you know, you're pointing to a backpack right behind me. When I came in here and sat with you at that table about 3 weeks ago, there were backpacks at that table. And so I've heard that Pete's, and I've heard also from Razor Ray, that there, you know, Lee, that there have been, you know, backpacks available. So, and I was told today that backpacks are acceptable. There's no such policy. I'm pleased to hear that, because I think that kind of discrimination, which apparently is happening at the coffee roasting company, isn't happening here.
Okay. I'm not sure. Anyway, hey... However you think this might unfold in the next while, I think that there's room maybe at the Vets Hall for a few more public policy inputs. I think most of the downtown enjoyed some performances, like, for example, Greg Morgani, and I think there ought to be some outcry or there ought to be some opportunity for people in the community to say, hey, you know, these rules, if they're in fact being broken, need to be obviously changed. What the hell?
And we will be doing a protest next Wednesday at 1 o'clock in front of the coffee roasting company, encouraging the end to the move-along law and an end to the forbidden zones law, which forbids you from sitting within 14 feet of a building with a display device or without a display device for that matter. So we'll be doing that. And thank you. You want to again remind us who you are or not?
Oh, no.
Well, then you're going to have to guess, everybody.
Right.
Although you may have heard the name once or twice. So. And up in the...
I want everybody to forget the name of the flautist who I just mentioned. My apologies to him.
He's a saxophone player, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Forever 21, neck of the woods. We have one man playing the guitar. Doing
and some strumming. That's about it, up and down. Let's listen to this man.
My head was a jar, and I should have been home.
And he's just strumming away. So in the block between Walnut and Lincoln, on the shady side of the street, the last 4 feet is available for display devices.
And this is on Pacific Avenue, meaning the 4 feet closest to the curb. And that's the only place it's legal for people to set up their, whether it's a political table or a guitar with a display device, or a panhandler sitting with his cap or her cap. And that means, of course, you're going to be blocking cars that are parked there, people coming in and out of cars. That no doubt will be the next obstruction that will be considered to be a forbidden zone indicator.
However,
go ahead.
The whole reason, they'd like to get rid of everybody down there, but the whole reason they can't is because this is First Amendment activity and the sidewalks are a traditional public forum. So instead, what Barisoni has advised them to do is just shrink it down to almost nothing. You know, and I also like to say that, you know, where are the other people that are upset about this? I mean, Huff is the only one out there protesting on a persistent basis. Because the whole community supports the artist being there. You know, you're doing a public service, Robert.
Block.
Thank you, Free. I expect some kind of honor, maybe laurels.
No hugs from me.
No hugs. Oh, well, you know.
Between Lincoln and Church Street, there's zero space available.
And I'm talking about places where people can actually sit down and, do any of these activities legally. The answer is some people do anyway, particularly after dark when the police aren't patrolling so much. You find people reoccupying.
Or people from out of town that don't know better, and then they get tickets. Yeah. It's horrible what we do to the traveling people.
Reoccupying the area in front of New Leaf Market where... there is a traditional performing space. If you're familiar with our downtown area, at I guess it's Soquel and Pacific Avenue, right across from Joe's Pizza, right next to the New Leaf Market, right across the street
There's
from Forever 21.
There's a very wide sidewalk there, but hasn't the whole area been like shrunk away?
That entire block on that side of the street from New Leaf all the way up to Chianti's, there is no legal place for people to do any musical performing with a display device, political tabling, or simply sitting down with a sign that says, need spare change, will you help?
Mm-hmm. I know when they were proposing the new laws, you took me on a walk down there and showed me how it was just dramatic how much they had shrunk the areas. Maybe we should do a video on that or somehow convey it to the public because it's a
very good
what
idea.
They've done. It's a crime what they've done down there. And, you know, they never mark out what the area... They never tell you where you can. They always say you can't do it there, but they won't tell you where you can.
They're actually, if you look at... They have three flyers out. One came out in October, and I think the others are a little more recent. If you go to the little Downtown Association kiosk in front of New Leaf Market, the little green kiosk on the sidewalk.
The information kiosk.
It used to be that Baba's...
They will tell you that it used to be... Sushi Now,
okay.
And then it used to be another one, which has moved since down to a kiosk near the bookshop Santa Cruz.
So there's a person there or something that will hand you something?
Yeah, you can get literature. It's a lot of tourist literature, and also you can get a flyer that tells you what areas it's illegal to be in. There are also three zones where it is legal to be without paying attention to the forbidden zone things. So, for example, in front of No Kneels, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, at the Scribner statue.
Well, you got a ticket.
I was ticketed there, yes, but they had to throw it out because I showed them that the three council members were also sitting there.
Now you're singing one. You
didn't get a ticket.
You got tagged on that one.
Yeah.
What'd you get a ticket for, Robert?
Sitting on the Tom Scribner statue area, which is waist high and sittable, and you find
you can't sit there. I saw somebody sitting there just today.
No, that's conduct on public property, 9.50.020. Yeah. The trouble is that I showed that it was also... Well, no, that's an interesting point, but, we get very legalistic here. This whole mass of laws, I encourage you to come out and fight them and do so in a friendly, happy fashion to bring some some life back to Pacific Avenue.
Have fun while you're doing it.
And do it on your own time. You don't have to wait for a Huff or
exactly.
You know, anybody else. Go out there and do it yourself.
The more days it's done, the more effective it will be.
You know, organize your own cells. Do your own
very
thing.
Very easy to organize.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, some people said, oh, Huff, what kind of group are you do with that? Or Robert Norris, gosh, heavens to Betsy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do it yourself. Stand up against these laws in your own way. Do your own videos. I think that is an excellent suggestion for you about showing where these forbidden zones are, and particularly videoing where police officers are harassing people around this.
This is also an occupy issue. It's a way to occupy on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, or just use the sidewalk. Yeah, Occupy would, you know, we're talking about doing it 24 hours a day, but this is just
for a couple hours.
You know, this is the right to use the public space.
To meet. It's a traditional meeting place for people downtown, you know.
It is indeed. Let's hear some more from, I think this was last Sunday, the 23rd.
On the shady side of Pacific Avenue for display devices, because 14 feet takes you to the curb. I'm approaching a small African-American woman near a sitar restaurant, sitting in the shade with a sign, a panhandling sign, a little cup, in a legal spot, actually, 246810, not really a legal spot. It says, spare change, food, anything helps, thank you, God bless. How's it going?
It's going all right.
And how long have you been out here today?
Probably for an hour now.
And it looks like a relatively slim pickings.
Yeah, it's been pretty slow.
Any hassles from police, hosts?
No, not at all. It's been pretty good. They don't give me any problems here.
And are you frequently at this spot?
Yeah, on and off. I switch and head over to the Palomar sometimes in front. Yeah.
Which do you find more productive?
Right here. But, yeah.
And what's your name?
Elena.
I'm Robert.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Anything happened today you want to talk about?
Not really. I just woke up. I've been sleeping all day.
I see you have your purse with you, hanging on the fire hydrant along with a bag of stuff. Any problems with sleeping spots? Any hassles for sleeping?
Well, yeah, we've been getting kicked out from a lot of places for camping because we're not allowed to be there, but it's been hard to find a spot to sleep in. Yeah.
Any citations or tickets?
Yeah, I have a lot of them.
And have you been told you're one of the 100 chronic offenders downtown?
No, I haven't been told that.
We've been talking with?
Huh?
Again, your name is?
Elena.
Anything you want to add?
No, nothing else. It's been an all right day.
Thank you, babe.
At this spot, which is at the corner of Lincoln and Pacific, where the sitar restaurant is right across from New Leaf Market, there used to be a woman in a wheelchair who was panhandling. And she reported getting harassed endlessly at different places near Safeway. She reported getting harassed in her vehicle at night when Lieutenant, I think it was Habe, although possibly a more recent officer, would go around at 3 in the morning and pound on their vehicle. I haven't seen her downtown. You know, I just remembered her because this diminutive, small black woman was there. Very, you know, innocuous, quiet, timid-seeming, and in an illegal spot. She was within 14 feet of a crosswalk, and she was also hanging up her stuff on a fire hydrant, which is illegal. I mean, no, it's not a danger to the fire hydrant, but the aesthetic maestros of Pacific Avenue who have decreed these laws, we're talking really the staff and the police. Yeah. Police are part of
our staff.
Yeah, the police are staff. That's correct. So let's hear some more.
So we have a man, country gentleman's landscaping guy, Curtis Relaford, with the biggest truck in town and the best dressed man in town. What's been happening, Curtis?
Oh, well, I'm leaving right now from downtown. Yeah, my name is Curtis Relaford. I'm leaving downtown this evening here. And really, I'm leaving being upset because I can't express my rights of what's written on this truck. We're facing a moral crisis, and those who do nothing invite shame and violence, and those who act boldly recognize that their rights as well as reality, but it don't do no good for the cops who are running me off because of I'm playing what the world needs now is love. I'm playing love songs, peace songs. And the cops shut us down because I had a crowd over here that was embracing the work I was doing, man.
When was this?
30 minutes ago.
What happened?
The cops, we was playing the music. The cops rolled up, had guys up there, these are adults, up on top of my trailer dancing. It's a dance floor. On top of my trailer, it's built as a stage. And the cops say, it's against the law to have people up there. It's against the law to play music. And I said, man, it's against the law to do fundraising, to go to the Native Americans Hopi Reservation to deliver food and clothes. That's what I'm doing down here, sir. And, you know, it's just one second. And that's what I'm doing down here, sir, is gathering up food, clothes, and building material to take to the poorest of the poor throughout the United States, man. And I'm going to the reservations. Don't you understand? All this was built on these folks' property.
And burial grounds.
And burial grounds. They don't even claim it as that. They don't even sell that. Because the land is not for sale. It's not ours in the first place.
Well, you know, I don't think it's illegal to a person to stand on top of your truck. And I don't think it's illegal for you to play your music at conversational, at normal volume. I suppose they can babble about an amplified sound permit or something like
that. That's what they was doing.
Yeah.
But I'm not letting that stop me, Rob.
Good for you, man.
I'm unstoppable.
Good.
Follow your heart, actionnetwork.com. The man is on a mission. He's just an ordinary man trying to do the right thing. But damn, there's a lot of bumps out here.
Look, man, you're the wrong color and you have the wrong color hat. What do you think?
Well, I'm a black man trying to help a red man. Asking all you white men, brown men, yellow men, to join me on a journey of kindness.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
So, we're talking with Wolfric. Wolf, you have with you a nice-looking doggy. What's the name of that pooch?
Her name is Suki, Star Ice.
And I guess earlier we had a companion who you had. Also, there was a kitty. Yes, you got a kitty right here, too.
His name is Loki.
And yet, whoa, look at the tree. It's shedding its beautiful spring flowers. And there goes Curtis Relaford's on my way to the Hopi Reservation. Follow your heart network. And at the same time, a fire engine. It's not a good combination. Oh, well. So, I heard from you or from your associate here on this bench in front of the Happy Herb Shop. It's about 6 o'clock now on Sunday evening. That there were some police that were driving you out of town.
Yeah, we were over by where the one and the Highway 1 and Highway 9 meet off, where you can head south off of off the Highway 1. And we're trying to hitch out, trying to get out to Monterey and try to go and make some money, because this town doesn't quite like, you know, travelers and money giving. We were there for maybe about 14 minutes, and cop pulls up onto the curb, gets out of his car, and says that we need to beat feet. Well, okay, well, we're trying to get out of town, so is there a place that we can go to town to, you know, go and fly our sign and go and get out? No, don't care. Just beat feet. Go. Just go. I can.
What did
I
your sign say?
You. I didn't. We didn't have a... Oh, wait. We said south, please. That's all it said, was south, please.
It's not illegal. I think it's illegal if you're on the freeway.
Yep. And we were on the on-ramp. We were before the actual highway itself, right, where the intersection is.
They didn't advise you could stand, let's say, a block off the on-ramp and be legal, which you can.
Yeah, I know. No, he didn't.
Highway Patrol, Santa Cruz Police?
No, it was PD.
Santa Cruz Police Department.
Police Department, yes, correct.
You didn't happen to notice the name of this fine officer,
did you? I did not. He wasn't exactly showing his badge to me. He was doing the whole, like, move.
Dancing around.
Dancing around, trying not to show what was on his chest. And afterwards we're like, well, you're a police officer. You're a public servant. Is it not your job to give us information as to where we can go and what we can do? No, fuck off. Just beat feet.
Did he use the F word?
Yes, actually, he did.
Outspoken police officer.
Very, very much so. Very much so. Very, very freedom of speech, right? Because, you know, only...
Forthright. Freedom of speech for those who have uniforms, badges, and guns.
Right, because if you don't have one of those, you shouldn't be able to have it.
Well, you...
So, in any case, we decided to walk all the way to the other side of town and try and hop on one of the other spots. I think off there's Water, and then it was down to the left. I can't remember which one that was. One of the roads that's out that way to the highway. And again, the same police officer came and shooed us off.
A very diligent police officer.
Yes. He was making sure that we were being very safe and, you know, not being allowed to leave at all.
Did you notice the number of the squad car for him?
I did not.
Get it together, son.
No, I wasn't. Like I said, I usually have my video camera, and it's been dead for 2 weeks because I have such a bad memory.
Get it together. Anyway, so where are you coming from?
Originally, East Dublin, Ireland, but we're out of Eugene, Oregon for the past couple of months. So that's, we've been here for now almost 3 weeks.
And here in Santa Cruz?
Here in Santa Cruz.
And how have you been treated in Santa Cruz?
As far as like the street people go, wonderfully. A couple of people, like the house people that live in here, are pretty nice, but for the most part, not a general good consensus.
What else have you experienced here?
A lot of you can't sleep, you can't lay down, you can't relax. If you do that, you are in trouble.
So when did this happen last?
Actually, right over off of Church Street, where the public library is, one of the security officers. Yes,
big tall guy. John, big John.
Gray. Paper beard or something of another. Yeah. Anyway, I was relaxing with my back up against my backpack, not really laying down on the bench. I was leaning up against my backpack, playing my harmonica with my hat down over my eyes. And he said I could not relax; that I had to sit up straight.
A fashion expert, obviously.
Yes, no.
Posture.
I had to sit directly up. I was not allowed to lay down. And then later on, he was harassing another street person about their service animal, not being allowed in the library.
And what did that person say to, what did the security guard say to the person, and what did the person respond?
Something to the effect that the dog was not showing exemplary behavior to a service dog's behavior pattern. It's what they're supposed to have. The kid argued that, you know, obviously it was, yes, a service animal, that dogs are dogs. You know, they're animals, they're not machines. And he said, don't care, you need to go. And he said, well, can I use the phone right here? Because what's your name, what's your badge number? And he took all the information, had actually called someone over the phone and had told them said information. I don't know who
the
he called.
Security guard? It was the same guy?
It was the security guard that he got called on.
Who called you?
No, he bothered me, and then he went and bothered this other person, and then this other person ended up calling someone with the information of the security officer.
And you didn't exchange names with this person or chat with him?
He kind of wandered off. He didn't really come over and talk to me. He just kind of sat on the payphone for a minute.
What kind of a dog did he have?
I guess we'll never know. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. In the studio with me, the voluble Free and the judicious Michael O'Grady. Your call-in number here is 427-3772. I want to say that I rode by Big John, the first alarm security guard. He's a pretty hefty big guy, 6'5", 6'6". Kind of walks into the kind of a swagger, is what I've noticed. And there's some people who like him, you know. I'm not saying everybody doesn't. I don't, you know, but that's me. And as I drove past, he was walking in past the parking garage on Church Street, which is the street where the library is. The parking garage is kitty-corner to the library, across from the Cruzio Works that we talked about earlier. And I heard his conversation, you can't be in this parking lot. You have to get moving. And I, of course, couldn't resist saying, John, leave him alone, out the window. And, in fact, I drove back, but by the time I got there, he had already driven this guy away. Parking lots, thanks to a council member, former council member and mayor Ryan Coonerty, now running for supervisor and likely to win. Vote for Bob LaMonica, even though Bob hasn't got the best position on every issue, but he's certainly better than Ryan Coonerty. He Coonerty created the law that said all downtown public parking lots are really no longer public parking lots for any purpose other than parking a car. So if you, for example, want to sit in your car and chat with friends, that's illegal. If you want to read a book inside your car, that's illegal. If you want to fall asleep on your car even during the day, that's illegal. Or in your car, that's illegal. If you want to rest, if you have a person with you who wants to rest, maybe an older person like myself, fall asleep at different times, narcoleptic perhaps, that is illegal. It is illegal to be in a parking lot, a city parking lot, unless you are parking or retrieving a vehicle or walking directly through. Now, it's true you get 15 minutes to park or retrieve a vehicle, but if you're not parking or retrieving a vehicle, according to that law, you are illegal. So, John, you might say, Big John, the first line security guard, is just enforcing the law. And that's the real problem with these laws. It provides an opportunity for people who, like myself, are control freaks to exercise it in a way which gives them power over other people that is quite inappropriate. We have a caller. Hi there. I think you're on free radio, but it looks like you didn't get on. So try again, 427-3772, or try 469-3119. 469-3119, and you might get on. You never can tell. And while we're waiting for a call, let's see if we can hear some more street reports. That is not a street report. Let's see if we can actually get something that's more streety.
Here, from a woman that reported someone smoking marijuana on the sidewalk. Any street report? So we have a report. Go ahead.
And these are reports from the Red Church, which I go to mostly on a regular basis every week. It's the Calvary Episcopal Church across from what's people may be familiar with the Farmers Market. It's across from the Nickelodeon Theater. It's at Cedar and Lincoln Streets. And every Monday they have a meal from 5 to 7. And I show up, I think I showed up pretty late last Monday. These are some of the reports I got there.
All right, so I got a report here from a woman that the parking lot across from 1010 Pacific, off of Cathcart, she was approached by First Alarm saying she couldn't sit there in the parking lot because she might steal a car. Ooh. Talking with
Bobby McGee died, you know that.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple months back.
So did, no, a couple weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
A couple months, I think.
Yeah, probably. You know, Baltimore died, too.
Yeah, I heard that, too, about the same time. What?
Marianne died?
I mean, I heard there were a bunch of people who died all around the same time. I don't know if it was Marianne.
Seven and less in 2 weeks' time, about seven of them died, you know?
Anybody else you know by name?
Well, my brother died, but you don't know him. He's way up north.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like death is plaguing us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we've been talking to...
You know, George.
Thanks, George. So we're talking with...
My name's Enrique Oyari. I had my dog up there sitting at the... up there at the mission... over at the park. And the police came up and gave me a ticket for having my dog not leashed. And I was leashed up. Now I got... I'm suffering now. You know, I'm homeless and I got to feed my dog. And now I got to go to court over it. I didn't understand. You know, hopefully that I might be able to go to doggy school and then pay for it that way. You know?
Obedience training.
Yeah, you know, because usually people run from their cases, you know what I mean? I'm not into running, you know.
What's the name of your dog?
Her name's Lady, L-A-D-Y, Black Labrador.
How long have you two been together?
Oh, about 10 months.
And how long you been outside?
About 4 months now.
And have you had this problem with any contact with the police about the dog before?
Never, you know, that's why I don't understand, you know. The dog's so friendly, down to earth. I see if it's a pit bull or it's a Black Labrador, she's real friendly. It's like they had no remorse that dog was leashed. You know, I see if she run without a leash running around in the park, but she was leashed and she was to a location, and he still gave me the ticket.
Did you tell him it was leashed?
Hell yeah, but he
what did he say about this?
I guess he's going to be trying to make sergeant, you know, so he...
What's the name of the cop?
Oh, I don't know. I got the ticket into my car. I'll have to let that one go, but I just wondered, you know, they should have a little bit more understanding, but then again, we do understand that the two officers were killed here, you know what I mean?
Not by your dog, though.
No, not by my dog.
Or anybody else that we know in this room, so no justification for doing that if it's inappropriate. Here's a card that describes when my show comes on, and I'll be playing it probably Thursday night.
Right down the street here?
No, it's at a secret location, but it's on the air, so you get to hear it. We're a pirate station. A testimonial to Free Radio. You've heard Free Radio?
I'm Jeff Patterson. I heard your radio.
Before we hear this praise for my Free Radio show, a much deserved, I should say that dogs are not allowed in almost any park in Santa Cruz except for dog parks. For example, in San Lorenzo Park, I think they may allow you to walk through with a dog now, although if you're a homeless person who tries to walk through with a dog, I understand that's been a problem.
I thought they couldn't, didn't they?
And that's what I heard, too, but then I heard the difference, so I'm not sure what the story is. But I guess in San Lorenzo Park, the excuse or the reason is ducks. There's a lot of ducks at the duck pond.
That makes some sense.
That makes some sense. But,
well, then maybe we should have leashes for the police downtown, too, because they're a problem downtown.
Well, it could be an answer to the... police abuse problem.
Must be on leash, the mayor's leash at all times.
Maybe we should put the mayor on a leash. That would be an even better idea. All right, let's hear some more. Again, this is last Monday, 3 or 4 days ago at the Red Church.
So what do you think?
I like it.
What do you like about it, if anything?
It's true.
And your name is?
Jeff Patterson.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, now we have a little music here. Music here at the Red Church. I just got reports from two women, one who said that she got into the 180-180 program, but she didn't really want to get in, per se. She was looking for therapy, and instead they gave her housing. She found that peculiar, and it's not that she's not rejecting the housing, but she didn't get what she asked for, and she felt maybe that they were just using her to fill a slot in some kind of a prearranged plan. Another woman tells me Capitola Police 6 months ago hogtied her, and then took her bicycle and property and never returned it, claiming that at one time she had hit a cop and therefore they wanted to make sure she didn't do so again, I guess, is my understanding. She didn't want to be mentioned on tape specifically about this, but she didn't mind my anonymously taking a report. So we're talking with...
me.
And what about me?
Well, they put me on pitchers all over downtown to where I can't get a drink. I mean... I went into the proprietor and I said, you're not a cop. I mean, I never caused any problem in the store. How come I can't drink? Because we got your picture on the wall. Now, what if my little granddaughter got a job down at CVS? And, Mommy, can you hear her come? I seen Grandpa's picture on the wall. I think this is room for class action. You know, you can't put my picture on a wall. I didn't cause no problem in this store.
How long has your picture been up there?
Probably 8 years, something like that.
And what store are we talking about?
All of them.
And
all the downtown liquor stores. I can't buy liquor.
And have you had particular, you know, drunk in public shit coming down a lot? Or
Yeah, I get drunk in public. I go sleep it off and I get out. No big thing. I don't cause no problems or nothing. Just, and I'm sleeping on the sidewalk or on the curb. And, you know, I'm just drunk in public. Let's arrest him because he's obviously...
You're not fitting in with the new Santa Cruz, sir.
Obviously, I'm not.
So, how long you been a Santa Cruzan?
22 years.
And has it gotten better, worse, the same?
Well, when I first come down here, it was better. Everybody was in a crank, and then the cops didn't bother anybody. It was in a crank, and my girlfriend got me in a crank, but then she left me, and so I got into booze, and they arrested me, because I seemed like a bad guy, you know.
Were you beating people up, getting into fights?
No. You ever heard of Jesse James?
Yeah.
I used to ride with him. You know?
Well, you must be really old, man.
Robberies on me. You know, I'm the bad guy.
So are we talking about the new Jesse James or the old West Jesse James?
No, we're talking about, I'm just talking about their concept of me being a bad guy because I got four robberies on me. I did four different times for robbery. I got 28 years in prison, you know? And that's what we were talking about. This is the bad guy, the rookies. He's a bad guy. Let's arrest him for it. What can we get him for? Well, he's got an open container. We'll take him to jail for drunk in public.
Right.
I'm not drunk.
So any convictions or charges in the last 5 years, other than drunk in public?
Let's go back to 2000. No, let's go back to 1989 was my last conviction for anything.
What was that for?
Robbery.
And how much time did you serve?
10 years.
And after that, no convictions since 1999?
No, Ron. No. After that, I figured I'm not going to do nothing wrong ever again.
Were you able to get employment? How did you survive?
Well, I was right on food stamps, and I was just a step away from 62, and I retired at 62, and I got a check.
How old are you now?
74.
Wow, you're a good-looking 74.
But thank you very much. Yeah. But, yeah, like that.
Well, thank you, sir, and we will pass this on free radio on Thursday night. Here's the times, places, and in case you ever want to listen to yourself on the radio.
Yeah,
yeah, no. Talking with
Frank Ensminger.
Go ahead, Frank.
Let's see. This free report is, there's a guy that's riding around on a bicycle.
We're switching to slow speed.
There's a guy riding around on a bicycle. He rides by us. I had an RV park somewhere, and he rides by, and he goes, "Ah, methamphetamine," and he kept going. And then he said, "I'm calling the police." And then he took off. And like 10 minutes later, he's standing. I look out my window, and he's standing there with the police, and he's pointing at the trailer, saying drug activity and stuff. That we weren't doing nothing but just laying there. And they check, search us and everything. And a week goes by. I sell the RV and I get a van. And now, same thing. The same guy rides by. And he calls the police. And they come again. And we're watching a movie. We weren't doing anything.
Now you're with your friend here?
Yeah, my girlfriend. And
what did the police do when they came the second time?
I think they just knew that they had a caller, because the guy was drinking anyway. He was pretty drunk looking. I don't know.
Which one did Sam say? Alcohol.
Yeah. I just thought, wow. Oh, the first time, the next day, he came up and said, "Oh, sorry, mistaken identity." And he tried to give me a handshake. And I looked at him like he was crazy. He shook his hand, though. Yeah. And then it happened again. So I'm sure he didn't have a mistaken identity the second time.
Maybe this has a mistaken consciousness, perhaps.
Maybe.
And we've been talking with that non-meth man,
Frank Ensminger.
Thank you, Frank. Anything else you want to say?
No.
Thank you. Good. Anything you want to say?
How can we stop those? They can't stop those people from take back Santa Cruz from taking our picture and writing notes as they pass. I mean, yeah. They've been doing that lately out by the park, and it's really like, you know, not everybody is happy where they're at. Not everybody got here just because they're, I don't know what they think of everybody, why they think we're out here. But, I mean, isn't that illegal to take a picture of somebody?
No, unfortunately or fortunately, in public, everyone has a right to take a picture of anyone else. What you can do is take a picture of them.
Right. That's what I thought. Can I do that?
And say, you know, what's your name? Where are you coming from? And why are you harassing me? Please, you know, and maybe they've got a license plate number. Note down the license plate number. Get a description.
Yeah, that'll
get them. You know, and say, look, you know, if you want to be helpful, leave me alone.
They do that. They walk around the shelter, and they go around, they stare at everybody, and they have a little notepad, and they're taking pictures of everybody. Like, I mean, it's not, everybody's not out here because they're drug addicts. Or, you know, there's a lot of mothers out here. There's a lot of people that just got out of, have lost a job and can't get another job. It's hard to live in Santa Cruz. Not everybody is, I don't know what they think. The lady needs to go back to Buffalo, New York, where she came from, though, the one that started Take Back.
Annalisa Cube?
Yeah. She needs to go back to Buffalo, New York, where she came from.
And we've been talking with?
Kim.
Thank you, Kim. And good luck, and if you can, get a cheap camera or use your cell phone. Yeah, take pictures.
I'll take the picture right back out of my
Head. And I do a radio show twice a week, and I also have we have a meeting of homeless civil rights folks. If you want, you're welcome to come to the meeting or give a call. Okay. Let us know that that's going.
I mean, because it's really getting out of hand with the picture.
Does it happen at a regular time? Or
it's Saturday mornings. It seems to be the best time to come through. With, you know, there's a group of them.
How many of them are there?
I don't know. Sometimes there's six, sometimes there's ten, sometimes there's three.
And how are they dressed?
I don't know.
Santa Cruz or regular?
Yeah. Santa Cruz, looking yuppie. I don't know.
They have, what, a bunch
notebooks,
of cameras between?
Cameras, notebooks, and they're taking, like, license plates down. They're looking at people's cars. I don't know what they're doing, really.
What you have to do is organize a group of people who are ready for them and then just follow them around and doing commentary. Say, we have a group of people here, and you might even talk more loudly. Here's a group of people who are taking everybody's picture. You know, and you take their picture as they go. And that's one way of responding to them. They have a right to take your picture. You have a right to take their picture. Hello there, you doggy. What's the name of this pooch?
Buster Brown.
Buster Brown. It's a ball of brown fur, all right.
Yeah, Buster Brown is very popular.
Anyway, thank you and
thank
take
you.
Care.
I will take pictures and back. Thank you.
Thanks. Let's talk. We're talking with
Blaze.
Go ahead, Blaze.
We would like to know why the Ranger sweat the homeless behind everything else, but what was it, babe, yesterday or the day before? We seen a tent in the middle of broad daylight over there by the kids' area. Just sitting out in the grass. But we can't have an umbrella for shade.
And now where do you usually hassle for your umbrella?
Anywhere in San Lorenzo Park.
You're not allowed to have an umbrella in San Lorenzo Park?
Not if you're homeless.
And when was the last time you were told this, and by who?
I've been told by Anoy. I've been told by Hoppy. I've been told by Ranger Item. And his flunkies.
Now we're talking about an umbrella or a tent or an umbrella.
We've seen a tent. My wife and I have been told we cannot even have an umbrella.
And if you tried to put up an umbrella, been told you can't have it up.
Yes.
And how many times has that happened?
I can't count that high.
And the last time it happened was.
It's been a while because we haven't actually been in the park recently.
Anything happened in the last week you want to talk about?
That we saw the tent. They were allowed to.
What is the issue with dogs in San Lorenzo Park? That would be a good question.
Dogs are the forbidden in San Lorenzo Park and in all of parks.
That's a forbidden just a foot to here.
They can be on the levee trail, but they cannot be in the park.
Yeah, I don't think you can even cross the park with a dog. It's illegal. Although, if you're middle class, I suspect they'll let you pass.
Oh, yes, I believe that to be true. There's us, and there's the 5-0s, and then there's everybody else.
Not to mention the racial factor.
Oh, yeah.
Anything about that recently?
No, not that I've ran into.
Oh, that's good.
Been pretty quiet.
More class than race here.
Yeah.
All right. We've been talking with
Blaze.
Thank you, Blaze. So you're cuddling a cat. What is your name?
Phoenix.
And what is the name of that putty?
Terry.
And are you and Terry are occasionally seen in the park, but you haven't gotten any tickets for Terry yet?
No, luckily not.
But you are not allowed to have your doggy in the park?
No.
And what's the name of your dog?
Tinker.
And what were you told by police officers about dogs in parks, and how's that coming down?
That they're not allowed to be in the park, that it's forbidden. They recently made it to where you can walk through as long as you're on the path, but you can't stop. But there's other people that are on the lower field or even near the... Oh, and it's because of the ducks. It'll disturb the ducks. But other people have their dogs running around, and it's okay.
By other people, you mean other, better dressed, snazzier housies?
Housies. They figure since they consider us homeless, which I'm not, I'm just unconventionally homed.
Okay.
That they can sit there and target us, and it's just another means to do so. They won't even accept the fact that she's a service dog. I was told that if I had her in the park again, I would be arrested.
Who told you this?
Officer Medina, Item, which is a ranger, Heather Reeder.
Is the chief ranger?
Yeah, just several different, Officer Inouye.
And did they simply say service dogs aren't allowed in the park, or did they say you haven't proven it was a service dog, or this dog is unqualified to be a... What did they say?
They said that we don't feel that she's a service dog. She wasn't trained at a specific place, which by law they are not required to be trained at a specific place. And they just felt that she wasn't what I think
she was. Didn't meet the standards of the Parks and Rec Department.
Yeah, she wasn't up to par.
Not up to par.
As far as they were concerned. And my health issues didn't... they didn't need a service animal, as far as they were concerned.
Well, have you, you know, this is something, we don't really have much action happening in Santa Cruz around this, but we need people who know something about the Americans with Disability Act and who are supporters of people with who are disabled, and many folks are disabled, they have different disabilities, and they use service animals. So, this is something.
They are not allowed to ask for any identification stating that she's a service animal. Only three questions are allowed to be asked. One is if she's a service animal. Two, what she does. And no, that was the two.
And what do you say in answer to that question?
I've told them that she's a service animal, that and what she does. And
she is.
She can detect when I have problems with my irregular heartbeat before I do, and she gets me to stop and focus and sit down and calm down before I pass out. She's also for social emotional needs. I have problems with social anxiety disorder, anxiety period. And I get like really, she keeps me calm. She helps keep me calm. Otherwise, I have a tendency to explode.
So, is this generally the case or only in the park that your service dog is not recognized as a service dog?
It's anywhere because of the officer stating that they don't feel she's a service animal and the ranger is stating that as well. I can't have her. There's a lot of places I can't go. They tell me that I should go to a dog park. I can't take my cat to a dog park. And there's no other place for me to be able to go. I'm not allowed on most of the levee. I'm not allowed in the parks. It's just ridiculous.
Now, have you ever gotten a ticket for having a dog?
Yes.
How long ago?
It's been a couple months, but that's because I've tried to avoid getting a ticket because I'm on probation for too many camping tickets. I have a 90-day suspended sentence because of too many camping tickets.
When were you taken into court for those too many camping tickets, and how many were there?
I'm not sure how many.
Guess would be...
Just over 10.
Okay.
Maybe more, I don't know.
When were you taken to court for this?
I've been on probation for 6 months now.
And when did they pick you? Did they pick you up to give you an arrest warrant? Or?
Yeah, they arrested me, and I had to go to court. They combined everything down and said that I couldn't get any kind of ticket, otherwise I would do an automatic 90 days.
And did you bring up the issue of your service animal? Did you bring your service animal with you to court?
No, I did not, because I went straight from jail.
And how long were you held in jail?
4 days.
These were, all these tickets were for camping, or there were other offenses as well?
Camping or trespassing, you know, being in a closed area, but...
Were any of them misdemeanors, or were they all infractions?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a lot of shit to me.
Basically, you're supposed to be put on probation to teach you a lesson. What they're teaching me is it's against the law to be homeless. Which, if I'm correct, there's no law against being homeless.
No, there isn't. There just is massive, nasty police policies and unconstitutional enforcement of laws that try to make it illegal to be homeless.
I do believe our Constitution says something about having the right to sleep, be housed, find food, shelter, all that, but they refuse it here.
Well, certainly, unfortunately, the Constitution doesn't talk about housing or shelter, but there are all kinds of other documents in terms of religious documents, in terms of just simple common sense of what people, you know, feel is right, that I think is more important than any written document that was written by a bunch of slave owners, white male slave owners, back in 1780. 87 or 89.
I found, unfortunately, that common sense is not that common anymore.
Toto. Yes, that's actually, I think Voltaire said that. Common sense is not too common.
Most of the commons nowadays aren't that common.
Well,
common courtesy, common decency.
Get a lot of common abuse these days.
Yeah.
We've been talking with?
Phoenix.
Thanks, Phoenix. So we're talking with?
Patrick.
And Patrick, you said there was recently sweeps?
Yeah, there was a few sweeps. They had some problems up at Emmeline with some people siphoning gas or doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, and a van caught on fire and blew up.
I think I read about that about a month or two ago.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Well, anyways, that just targeted some camps that were in the area, and they came and swept them up and basically took everybody's belongings and everything that they had owned again. So, you know, it goes on time and time again, and it's the city and Labor Ready and folks like that are just basically stealing from us now.
How about your